Okay, take your Bibles now and turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and just some thoughts on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Matthew chapter 24 now, verse number 32. It says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. For of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if a good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Word of prayer. Lord, I want to ask now for your blessing on the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, that these Christians here would really, Lord, be looking for you to come back. God, that'd be very real to them, and Lord, they'd be expecting you and ready for you. Lord, they would not be in a backslidden condition when you come back. God, they'd be anxiously waiting for you to come back. And God, help me as I speak tonight. Help me to have on it what it needs on it, Lord. It's of you, it's not of me. My words are feeble and stammering lips, Lord. God, you've got to put the unction to it. And God, the folks are here and they need something. And so, Lord, just ask you to work among us tonight. Work in my heart, Lord. And God, give utterance tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Second coming of Lord Jesus Christ. And you've heard about it, heard about it, heard about it, heard about it. And you're hearing about it again. Hadn't been too awful long ago, and I preached upon it from Matthew chapter 24 as well. And I don't have any idea what I even preached on whenever it was, not too awful long ago, but by and large, what do you know, it comes back to me again. And Lord put something on you, I guess the only thing to do is must be a reason why. And I hope there is. I hope there really is. I hope when it comes to, you know, this business about the second coming of Jesus Christ, it's real to you. I hope it's very vivid to you, and I hope that you face up to it exactly like the Bible does. In Matthew chapter 24, it's he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. I didn't read you verse number 30, but the same type of thing. And it's just, I guess the chapter deals pretty much with the second advent, second coming of Lord Jesus Christ. You and I know that we get out here before a lot of this stuff ever takes place, but some of this stuff, as we see inklings of it, you and I, we know that we are about to leave. And because you and I, we don't go through the tribulation, we don't go to the middle of the tribulation, we don't go through any of the tribulation because we are objects of God's love and not of God's wrath. Because of that, you and I know that we bail out of here 7 years before some of this material actually takes place. But there is definitely an application for you and I, even though we're raptured out. There's an application for you and I, just as there would be an application for the tribulation saint right before the second advent. You know, as I think of the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ, it's pretty well treated like a joke these days. It's treated even by some Christians as, you know, something I've heard all my life. And he probably is coming back, but I don't really, you know when he's going to come back. And nothing much is going on, so I don't, you know, I'll just keep on living like I've always lived, and I'll do what I want to do. And if the Lord comes back, that'll be fine. I'm saved. I'm not going to go to hell. But that's not the way you're supposed to treat it in the Word of God. In the Word of God, you're supposed to treat the thing as though it's very, very serious matter, very sober matter here. And the thoughts that I want to call your attention to in Matthew chapter 24, and I understand a lot about second coming. It revs you up. Now, I mean, it stirs your heart, and it'll cause you to want to shout, man, shout her down. But yet there are some things that are sobering, sobering thoughts pertaining to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And amongst those things, I want you to face the fact that His return is a sure thing. Say, how sure? Now, you look at verse number 35, and you say, that's sure. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then when you read He's coming, and He's coming, and He's coming, and He's coming, then you can be sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, And you can take your life and build your life around the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know what people do? They get all wrapped up in the world, and they build their lives around things of this world. And they set up time schedules pertaining to this world. Somebody, you know, they set up a seven-year plan. And they got a seven-year plan, and I don't know what seven-year plan is, but I'm sure that that seven-year plan includes, you know, how I'm going to come out in the world, how I'm going to fare in the world, what I'm going to do in the world, and how things are going to go, and how I come out at the end of 7 years pertaining to this world. That's not right for you to do that. I'm not saying just, you know, stumble through. I'm not saying don't have any goals. You need to have some goals. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that you need to build your life, number one, around about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to live with that in mind. You need to make choices with that in mind. You need to set goals with that in mind. You need to pursue things with that in mind. You need to live your life with the second coming of Jesus Christ in mind. Now, you know, sometimes Christians go on, we get tangled up, and we get lured, and the Bible says, no man that warreth entangled himself the affairs of this life. And you've got to be as careful as you can to keep things reduced back and just as simple as you possibly can. There's a lot out there we're living in a computerized society, and there's a lot out there, mind-boggling. There's a lot out there, to take you and draw you away and get you wrapped up in what's out there, everything outside the return of the Lord. Christian, let me tell you something. You need to build your life around the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to live in anticipation of the fulfillment of the Word of God. When you read about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, and you read about it over and over and over, and so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, and also so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, and such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh, when you keep on reading about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, you need to determine in your heart that I will live my life with the second coming of Jesus Christ as the priority, the preeminent thing, and my life will be built around that. The second coming of Jesus Christ is a sure thing. You and I, we live in a very unstable society, to say the least. Believe me, there's nothing out there that's stable anymore. The economy is anything but stable. It is up. It is down. It is inflation. It is recession. It is one thing or another. The economy no longer is even close to being stable. Missionaries on the foreign field, they've got a whole heap of money because of the dollar being strong. Then turns right around a month or two later, and they don't have anything because the dollar has lost ground. They've lost 50%. They're losing 50% more, and it's almost like they just hardly can't even make it. You and I might as well face the fact the same thing is true in America. The same thing will prevail more and more in America. And you and I live in an unstable society, and the economy, if anything, is unstable. You can be sure it is unstable. I'm thankful that in an unstable society, I've got something that is sure, and I can build my life around a sure thing. You and I live in an unstable country. The country as we once knew it, it's not stable anymore. There was a time when our country knew something about defense. Our country now has no defense, virtually no defense at all. And what little we have, we're giving away, and giving away some more. We reduce everything back. You think the others are? They may tell you they are, but those countries never have. You never could trust those countries. Those countries have broken every agreement that they have ever made with our country. What would make you think that they wouldn't break it in relation to that? You know they're going to break it, and you know that the thing that happens for you and I, our country just goes back and recedes until finally one day we become a second-rate nation, and we bow to whosoever will. Brother, anybody tells us what to do, and we jump and say, how high? You and I live in an unstable situation, and an unstable situation, I want to know something sure. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back exactly like He said, and I want to know that I can build my life not around a government, not around monies. I want to build my life around the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about an unstable society, and I think about an unstable city. You know, our town, northeastern Ohio, was a stable territory at one time. Folks came from the south because they come from the south and get a job. Many times they stayed up here and lived their days out, for the most part, up here because They could work up here, and there were jobs up here, and those jobs were stable jobs, and they enjoyed the paycheck and the paycheck and the paycheck, and week after week, and they'd just stay up here, and this would become their home because this town was a stable town. You had factories and factories and factories, and if you couldn't get into Republic Steel, you'd go to Maycomers. Couldn't get a Maycomers, you'd go somewhere else. There was always some place you could go into a factory and get yourself a job. But let me ask you something. Do you think this is a stable town now? It is not a stable town. There just about are no good jobs. I'm talking about jobs as we once knew them. The $15, $16 an hour jobs that were out there 10, 12 years ago, there are virtually no jobs like that anymore. You know what you and I are living in? You and I are living in an unstable society with an unstable economy, with an unstable country. The only thing we know about the country, it is going from bad to worse. We know the laws that they pass whenever they begin passing laws in behalf of the criminal, and they begin passing laws in behalf of the blacks, and they begin passing law in behalf of the queers, you can be sure that all those things take you right down to the bottom. You can be sure you're going backward all the time. You can be sure we are in an unstable situation. Our country, our city, and after all, doesn't the Bible say, for here we have no continuing city? It does. And things here are so very temporal. You and I, we like them. We like to think they're stable, and sometimes they are, and sometimes you get it by. Bricklaying trade, I worked at the bricklaying trade and supported a family for 25 years. And about a year or so after I bowed out, the bricklaying trade fell. I mean, it went down to the bottom for 2 or 3 years. There was virtually nothing going on. I don't think I could have survived had I stayed in it just that much longer. But, you know, sometimes you can get it by for a while, but you may as well face the fact you may not. And we live in an unstable society. I'm glad there is something sure. And I want to tell you, my friend, Christian friend, build your life around the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, live up to the fact that He said He's coming back, and build your life that way. Everything you do, do it with the second coming of Jesus Christ in mind. Young person, every move you make, do it with the second coming in mind. Make sure that your moves are with this in mind. Don't shove it to the side. Say, I've got 20 years, I've got 50 years, I'm a young person. Live your life with this in mind. We are sure the Lord Jesus is coming back. We're sure of something else. We are sure the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Now, you know, when we talk of that, everybody says, yeah, here we go again. And as I look in the Word of God, I say, yeah, here we go. And I mean, you just really can't get away from it. You and I, as we, you know, look at what the Bible says pertaining to the things that precede the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, we have a change of attitude. You know, sometimes people need an attitude adjustment. Sometimes somebody thinks, you know, the sunrise and sets on, and they just need somebody to sort of clip their wings a little bit. And, you know, sometimes somebody might even need the props knocked out from under them. Sometimes, you know, we do need an attitude adjustment. And pertaining to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, I'd say there are a lot of Christians need an attitude adjustment. I mean, we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back soon, and a lot of Christians, they have the idea, well, so what, you know? And we've been hearing it for a while, and so maybe He'll come back, and maybe He won't come back. You need to look at things in view of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I look at this passage here pertaining to the second coming of Jesus Christ, I think to myself, I mean, I know He's coming back because some things are supposed to be very solemn, some vows that are taken, some solemn vows. There's nothing solemn about Him anymore. I want to say this to you, husband and wife. If you've got a spouse here, if you've got a husband or a wife here tonight, I want to say to you, you take this vow that you have made with them, you take it very, very serious. I'm sure whenever the preacher said, you know, do you solemnly promise? And you were supposedly said, I do or I will, meaning I solemnly vow and I solemnly promise, till death do us part, I'm going to take care of this woman, I'm going to nourish this woman, I'm going to cherish this woman, I'm going to love this woman, I'm going to love her above my own life itself. And likewise, you have promised to take this man and be true to this man and faithful to this man and obedient to this man and take second place to the man in everything. You promised to do that. And these days, I mean, it's as though the whole thing's a great big old joke. It's as though even, I mean, I get called, somebody says, do you perform marriages? And I said, yes, I do sometimes. And they said, well, we'd like to get married. And I said, well, when do you like to get married? Well, we like to get married this afternoon. I said, well, that won't work with me because I've got to counsel with people before I marry them. And somebody else calls me up and they said, do you perform marriages? I said, yeah, I perform marriages. And I said, well, we like to get married. And I said, oh, well, tell me what your name is and how do I know you? Where do I know you from? Well, you don't know us, but we hang around down at the airship across from your church over there. And we're skydivers. We just like to, we'd like for you to come on down the airstrip, and we'd just like for you to marry us. And I said, nothing doing. Around here we have Christian marriages and Christian wedding ceremonies, and that's the only kind that I know how to perform. And so, that's how it goes these days. I mean, as far as I can see, that's the world. And the world has infiltrated everywhere. And the world, I mean, the things that God takes very serious and are supposed to be very solemn in the Word of God. And if God says they're serious and solemn, you and I should face up to them the same way. Nowadays, everything's a great big old joke. And because of that, you and I know the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. And husband or wife, let me say something to you. If you've got you a mate here, you make sure that you are very solemn about your obligation. You make sure if you're a woman here that you take every day and you see how good of a day you can make it for your husband. And that husband says there's something needs to be done. You say, honey, have you prayed about it? Let's pray about it. We need to do some praying about it. And once you've prayed about it, then you step back and the decision is his and the responsibility is his. And you don't have to worry about no responsibility at all his. In everything according to the Word of God. And husbands, you make sure you love your wives and make sure you love your wives above your own life. Love your wives, and the Bible says, like the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But as we see this thing becoming a great big old joke, thanks to Hollywood and TV and everything else that's out there, as we see wedding vows and everything else becoming a great big joke, you and I know that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You and I know that dealing with the second advent, we know there is a set time, an appointed time, according to the Word of God. And we know that God works in sevens. Anybody knows that? I mean, you know that in the Word of God, seven is a number of perfection, number of completion. So you and I are sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that here we are. We're just about approaching that seventh period of 1,000 years. We are right at the door there. We've got to take the tribulation off. And so you and I know that we are soon to go on out. We are soon to leave this place. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You and I need to look at the second coming, build our lives around the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about the passage here in verse number 32, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaf. That's what you're seeing now right before your eyes. You know that summer is not far down the road. You're beginning to see things blossom and bud now, and you know that not very far. I mean, the seasons are, but four seasons. The pleasures of sin are but four seasons, and seasons don't last a long time. And you know that it won't be very long, and before you know it, we'll be right on into the summertime. And so because of that, you and I know that the things that transpire and take place, you and I know that the Lord's return is very, very near. What does it do to us? That creates an urgency in our life. That creates an urgency about our Christian life. That creates an urgency to take our life as a Christian and get our life in order. When Hezekiah knew that it looked as though that he didn't have far to go out the road, he was told, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Now, you and I are not looking at it in the aspect of dying. You and I are looking at it in the aspect of being raptured out and leaving this place. And friend, let me tell you something. In view of the fact that you are soon to face your Maker, you had better back things down. You better get things in order. And you better fight and claw your way to the top in your Christian life. Some of y'all, I've seen you in the last 2 or 3 years, I've seen you go like this. From here to here. And from here to here. And I've seen you back down now that you are probably middle or low middle on the Christian, on the scale as far as the Christian life is concerned. I want to tell you, my friend, in view of the Lord's soon return, there's an urgency for you to get things in order, to set your Christian life in order, and to fight your way back to the top. I mean, you need to get out there and start witnessing both to small and great. You need to be faithful that way. You need to get busy and do some praying. You need to be on your knees and begging God to do a work, for God to use you every day of your life. You need to be out there redeeming the time, for the days are evil, not wasting time, accomplishing nothing, but accomplishing everything you possibly can before you leave this place and before you go out. And you need to be out there with an urgency to every witness you give. I think of these neighborhoods here, and I think we're making a last round. We are this probably never get back on the streets we're on this year, probably never be back on those streets again. Some of them, I'm sure we've already made our last round. And every time you go out there and witness, you need to have an urgency about it, knowing it might be one last shot, might be right before the rapture takes place. And give it that one. If God gives you an open door, go blasting through that thing. Begin talking. Talk as long as you can talk. When they begin shutting you down, don't even shut it down or cut it off. Wind it on down. I went out one time and I tried to witness to a guy, and he said, don't say it. And I kept on talking. And he said, no. He said, I've enjoyed being around you. I've never had so much fun in my life. He said, don't say it. And I kept on saying some more, but I gotta say it because, and such and such. And I said some more, and he kept saying, now, don't confuse the issue, And I went on and said some more, and I finally plowed through and got the witness in. And there's no more I can do at this point in time, but one of these days that door might open up again, and I'm gonna do the same thing. When he says cut it off, I'm gonna say 10 more words. And if he says cut it off, I'm gonna go on and say 10 more words. Instead of cutting it off and shut, I'll wind it down, because I know eventually I got to, but I'm not gonna wind that thing down until I can get the last word possible in. I'm gonna give a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an urgency to your witnessing, there's an urgency to your praying, there's an urgency to your Christian life for you to get on top and stay on top in view of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I need to live as though 93 is it. May and June is not far. It's not far away. You and I might be down to days before the rapture. You and I might just have days and we will be gone. Now, if the Lord Jesus doesn't come back in May or June, do you think I'm going to backslide in July? Do you think I'm going to, check out in August? You think I'm going to give up? I'm not going to do it. If I'm looking for the Lord to come back, I'm hoping the Lord Jesus comes back. I'm expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. And if He doesn't come back, I'm going to keep looking for Him. And I'm going to be like Daniel of old in Daniel chapter 10, or Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. I'm going to continue praying. I'm going to continue praying three times a day. I'm going to continue praying with the pressure on. I'm going to continue praying, brother, if it means going lion's den. I'm going to do my best to continue doing right and living in view of His soon return. Whatever looked like Daniel's going to lion's den, Nebuchadnezzar says, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, He will deliver thee." And if the Lord doesn't rapture us out, I know this. If I need deliverance, I know if I keep on doing right, needing deliverance, I know that down the road somewhere, I can count on my God to deliver me. I know that I don't have to be careful to answer anybody. He can deliver me if He chooses to do that. If He don't, He'll go in the fiery furnace with you. Our God is a great God, and He's going to see you through. You and I need to live in view of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and build our lives around the Lord's return. Christian friend, I'm telling you, you need to start building your life around the second coming of Jesus Christ. And you need to consider very seriously, consider and very soberly, consider the soon coming of the Lord as well. Not just that He's coming, you know that, but the fact that He is coming back soon. Again, when I think of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think that's going to bring some surprises. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 39, the Bible says, "And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." In verse number 42, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." And the passage talks about these days here, and there's some things that are similar to the days of Lot. But it's the picture is kind of as though that they just blindly go on, and they just refuse to recognize the Word of God, and they refuse to get right with God, and they refuse to live in view of His return. And it's as though that one day they are, totally, completely, absolutely surprised when the Lord comes back. It shouldn't be that way. There are going to be surprises. In the passage here, you're looking at some major surprises. You're looking at a situation where two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. You say, "I don't have to worry about them saved." Well, let me ask you this. What if the one you leave behind is somebody who's real, real special to you? Maybe they're a relative. Maybe they've just been a friend when you've needed a friend. Maybe they've been somebody that has stuck by you and they've been a good neighbor. A virtuous woman, there are a lot of lost people that have some virtues that all women, especially Christian women, ought to have. Some of them, they know how to work. Some of them, they are not idle. Some of them are a good neighbor. A virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, she's a good mother, she's a good wife, she's a good neighbor, and she's a good woman. Now look at here. Sometimes it may just be somebody who's been a good neighbor to you. And a good neighbor to you, and boy, you say, I'm going to go. Yeah, you're going to go, but you're going to leave behind somebody who's been special to you. You know, better is a brother that's a neighbor near than a brother that's far off. When push comes to shove, somebody who's right there and can do you some good and can help you out sometimes is more valuable to you than even your own kin who are far away and would like to help and would help but cannot help because there's too many miles in between, and so all they can do is give you a call, send you a card, try to encourage you, but they can actually do very little for you like a neighbor who is right there. And sometimes someone like that does so very much for you, and they're so special to you, and they stick by you, and they can always be counted on, and they always watch your house, and they always watch your dog, and they always watch something else. They're always watching out for somebody. They watch out for you, and one day you're going to be gone, and they're going to be left behind. Surprises. And surprises that, going to be very, very amazing. As I think of the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ, I think to myself, it says, you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And the Lord Jesus, he's gonna be coming back. And as I think of those surprises there, some are going to be major. Somebody who's special is one thing, but what if you're raptured out? And what if a loved one is left behind? What if somebody that's, flesh and blood, somebody who's, I'm talking blood relative, I'm talking about somebody who you love them dearly and they are left behind. You say, well, surprise for them. Yeah, surprise for them, but understanding that's not the kind of surprises that you would desire for them. You and I need to live with the second coming in mind. You and I need to realize that, brother, I'm telling you what, when the Lord comes back, there are going to be some surprises. Two men grind at the mill, one's taken and one's left. Two in one bed and one's taken and one's left. And you can see the picture there. You're talking about situations where side by side by side, day by day by day, and sometimes very, very close, and one is taken, one is left. You're talking about major surprise, and you need to be very sober about that thought. It'd be a terrible thing if you left behind somebody that you had a chance to witness to and did not witness to. If you leave behind somebody that you love because you were slapping your witnessing or your testimony. Christian friend, let me tell you something. Your testimony is a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And you make sure that if you spend a lifetime building your testimony up, don't you cut yourself any slack. You make sure you maintain a testimony that is above reproach. You make sure that you exalt the blessed Son of God. You make sure that you keep the Lord Jesus Christ, at the highest elevation possible. Don't you take that name or that testimony and take it down, and then one day when you go, you leave behind somebody that's been precious to you, near to you, somebody maybe related to you. Make sure that's not the kind of surprise that you face at the second coming. There are going to be surprises at the second coming of the Lord Jesus. You know what this world does? They just go on and on and on. They go on as though the Lord's not going to come back. The days of Noah, what are they doing? They are eating, drinking, to be merry, for tomorrow we die. Back in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, that's the way the world looks at it. That's the way lost men look at it. I'm not eternal, so I may as well eat, drink, and be merry. I may as well do it now. I may as well do it all now. I might as well just live for the pleasure of this world. I might as well live for the flesh. I might as well do it now, because soon I shall go the way of all flesh. And you know what happens? One day they wake up, and it doesn't go that way. And one day the Lord comes back. One day judgment comes, like the days of Noah. I take the days of Lot. You know what they do? The Bible said in Luke chapter 17, they bought and they sold. And the Bible says they planted and they built. And it's as though that the angels came down and the warning was out. The word was out. God's going to do a number on this town. Man, this is a wicked town. God's going to wipe her out. But you know what? People just went on as though that, he might, and he might not. And we'll just go on like we always have. And with that city and that town just going right through the usual paces, I mean the everyday wickedness, I mean the ultimate wickedness, and just day after day after day, one day the Lord came back, and brother, you know the story, you're looking at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And likewise, going to be surprises when the Lord Jesus Christ come back. I mean, some are going to be left behind. You're going to have people that are, I mean, they're just all wrapped up, and they're buying, they're selling, they're building, they just go. They think only of what goes on in this world, and they think nothing about getting things in order in view of the Lord Jesus Christ's return. And believe me, there will be surprises when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. I look at this passage here in Matthew chapter 24, and I say something else for the Christian. Something else for the Christian is this. It has to do with you staying alert. It says, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, you know, years ago people used to, they lived, you know, thinking 70. That's not the way you're supposed to think anymore. You know, sometimes people don't get saved because they think, well, hey, I might as well wait until, you know, I might as well drain this world. And it's bankrupt, I'll tell you that right now. Bunch of dead ends out there is all you're going to find. But they feel like I might as well drain this world out. And when I come out to, you know, I mean to my, virtually my last breath, then I'll call upon the Lord and get saved. If I can do it, and if, you know, 11th hour conversion is reality, and it is a reality, then that's the way I'm going to do it. That's not the way you should do it. Number one, if that would work, and it's not going to work. Most of the time, it's not going to work because you never go out like you really have it planned. And you know, you think, well, this is what I want to do, this is how I'm going to do it, and it usually doesn't work out that way. But here's what you'd be missing if it did. If you just lived in the world, of the world, for the world, tied to the world, and then, you know, try to get right at the end, here's what you miss. You miss peace that passeth all understanding. You miss blessing of God that maketh rich and he hath no sorrow to it. You miss the grace of God coming through and God nestling close to you and seeing you through some extremely difficult situations in this life when you thought, man, I'm going down, I'm going to take the count, I'm going to buckle, there's no way I can make it, and you come out the other side as gold, find out that his grace is sufficient for thee. I mean, you miss a whole lot by thinking 70. My friend, you and I have got to stay alert. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And salvation is a must now. Salvation is not to be put off. Salvation is not to be looked at as though I'm going to live like the devil and down the road somewhere, when I get to be an old man, an old woman, I'm going to get right with God and I'll get saved and go on to heaven and won't die and go to hell. You better not look at it that way in view of the Lord's return. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, in view of the Lord's return, Christian friend, you need to stay steadfast. And as we approach the end of the age, that's where the trick lies. The Christian now, he's geared to a circus. Look at your papers. Can you take Christianity, 20th century Christianity, or Christianity of our day, can you take it serious? 25 years ago, I witnessed a friend of mine. He said, Art, look at the paper on Saturday. He said, it's a joke. He said, it's a circus out there. And you expect me to take it serious? You know something, my friend? You can imagine where you've gone from that day to this. I mean, it's unbelievable, the things that are out there. And under the God, you know what's out there now? I mean, instead of preaching the Word of God, instead of piling on, instead of going for the Word of God, instead of the Bible being the emphasis, now we're now looking at performers. We're now looking at dramas. We're now looking at drama teams. We're now looking at performances at the Palace Theater. That's where they belong. But why call it Christian? Go out there like the rest of them and face up to it. And you know, that's what you've got in this day and time. And you and I need to just stay steadfast, stay by the Word of God, keep on doing right, and no show. We're not worried about a show. The Word of God is everything. Our life is lived in view of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 46, he says, Who then is a faithful and wise servant? You need to be steadfast, and that's quite a trick to stay steadfast and stay on top of things. But if you stay on top of things, ultimately, God will use everything that you've got. For example, here it says, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. And from a spiritual standpoint, let me tell you something, friend. If you're faithful, you're going to get a chance to give a witness. If you're faithful, you'll get a chance to win somebody. If you're faithful, you'll get a chance to bring them along, but you don't choke them just as quick as they get saved. And time I see Christians who, as soon as somebody gets right or gets stirring around, they just about want to choke a man at the Word of God. How about bringing them along slow? How about bringing them along with milk and bread and honey, then meat? But many a time, we like to show how much we know, and so we think, man, we've got to dump it on them, and they can't handle it. You take Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8, when Lord showed him what was out there in view of the tribulation, and Lord showed him what was out there, Daniel fainted. And Daniel, I'm talking about a man's man. Daniel, the Bible says his cogitations changed within him. And Daniel got sick, and Daniel was sick for days when he saw what was out there. Then why do you think that someone who has just gotten saved, or somebody who hasn't been too far out the road, what makes you think that they can take the whole 9 yards and take the whole, it'll choke them, friend. They can't handle it. They can take a shot now and then, and then now and then give them a little bit more, and in due season, just be faithful and faithful and faithful, and in due season, you'll be able to dump on everything you got and then some. And steadfastness is the trick. And you and I need to stay alert, because the tendency is to just feel as, nothing's going on. Nothing will ever go on. God's not going to use me. I don't really see anything happen. And so you just kind of cut yourself some slack, and then nothing does happen. And then you finally, you get discouraged and you get feeling sorry for yourself. And then you start getting bitter, and then less happens. And then, you kind of recede a little bit further. And finally, you find yourself on the shelf and God just about not using you. Not say He don't want to use you, but that's kind of how it goes. You know what I found? I found if you stay steadfast, God seems to have a way of stepping in and giving you a chance to dump out everything you got. Years ago, before I had the church, I used to try and read my Bible, and at times I'd think, oh no, man, there's nothing going on. I'm trying to do everything right. I've been trying to do things that I was taught, and I know they were right to do, and there's nothing going on. At times I'd feel like I'm going to burn all my notes, and I'm going to burn all my notebooks, and I'm going to burn everything I got in my Bible. And that's how I got feeling sometimes. But you know what I found? I found that if I just stayed on to it, I found that somehow or another, God seemed to do a little something. And there'd be stretches when I'd be getting, miffed and aggravated, and I'd be getting feeling sorry for myself, and the Lord just go on and let me feel sorry for myself. And He didn't pamper me. Then I'd finally pull it back together, and I'd begin reading, and I noticed at times when I would set some goals, and I'd read 20 pages a day. It seemed like if I read 20 pages a day, the phone would ring. It just went with it. I can't explain it. Maybe it's coincidence. But I've just found that if I was steadfast and I stayed with it and I would read and I would read and I would read and I would read and I would stay on top doing things I should do and I would continue to be steadfast, the telephone would ring. And Brother Cusick say, how about coming up preaching for me one more time? I say, Brother, you understand I'm a Baptist preacher. Okay, but Brother Art, would you please come back up and preach for me one time? Okay, I'll be back up and preach for you one more time. And I'd keep on reading and keep on reading and keep on reading. And next thing you know, the telephone would ring and there'd be another open door, another shot to preach the Word of God. And as far as I can see, who then is a faithful and wise servant, you, friend, you better be wise about it and you better stay alert to the fact that God is impressed with somebody who is steadfast and somebody who is faithful and somebody who will stay on top. And Christians, sometimes they just, they want it all to happen too quick. Like a fellow said one time, if you've done your best and nothing's happened, then apparently there's something the Lord doesn't have worked out yet. And I never fully grasped that until years later, looking back. And then I could see the hand of God, I could see the timing of God, and I say, He makes no mistakes. He makes no mistakes. So you and I need to live in view of the return of the Lord, and you and I need to stay alert, and you and I need to stay steadfast, knowing that one day we'll have a chance to put out everything that we possibly can. You and I need to be serious about eternity. In verse number 46, the Bible says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." There's a side to the second coming that's supposed to be real sweet. But that side that's supposed to be real sweet may not be. If you're not serious about eternity, and if you're not serious about God, I'm not talking about what you say. I'm talking about being serious about God and things of God. I'm talking about being serious and taking opportunity to speak a word for the Lord, no matter how insignificant it may be, how incidental it may be, how unnoticed it may go. I'm talking about that particular area. I'm talking about you being serious with God, and you will do anything you can do for the Lord, and you will say anything you can say for the Lord. You will go anywhere. You're not worried about anything except God. If you're serious about God, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, that'll be a sweet day. The Bible says He's a rewarder. You know, we think, you know, he's a hard and austere man. Those accusations were only accusations. He's really not that way. He's really very sweet, loving, gentle, and the Lord Jesus Christ really wants to reward you, but He's going to reward you if you diligently and faithfully serve Him. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant? My friend, let me say something to you. You make sure that you are serious about eternity, and then when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, you can be sure that you'll thank Him forevermore when you stand there and He rewards you, and He says He makes you ruler over all His goods. He'll give you something, my friend, to run. He'll give you something to rule over. You can be sure that the Lord is a rewarder. If you're not serious about eternal things, then the picture is not going to be sweet. It'll be sour. It'll be sad. You're not going to be too pleased that you wouldn't get right with God, and you were determined to stay backslidden, and you just took the attitude that He's not coming back soon. His return is on hold. I've got some time to live it up. And one day when the Lord comes back, you will be sorry that you are caught in a backslidden condition. He didn't even say it to anybody else. He just in his heart said He's not coming. It doesn't even say this fellow, man, he was wicked, and he was a sodomite. It doesn't say that. It says that evil servant had one thing going, and that one thing was that in his heart, probably somebody sitting right beside him never knew it. I mean, they would have never dreamed. They thought, oh yeah, there's a guy shouting her down. In his heart said, "My Lord delayeth His coming." And then once the devil began to talk, and he began to listen, and some movement began to go on the inside, and finally it showed up on the outside. And when it surfaced, you're looking at somebody doing something that you would have never thought they would have ever done. I said I'm preaching tonight on sobering thoughts about the soon return of the Lord. And it's a sobering thought to think that somebody could get so backslidden that they could go out and eat and drink with the drunken, saying, "My Lord delayeth His coming. Down the road, down the pike somewhere, I may get right. But in the meantime, I am tired of the battle. I will no longer fight the battle. I quit and I give up." I got a phone call this past week, and it was from out of state. And that phone call was a blessing to me, for the most part. Fellow that I knew from bygone days, he was still on top of things and still in the battle. He was struggling right now. I said, "Brother Art, I'm asking for your prayer." I said, "This thing's been a hassle. It's been a hassle for a while," and offered explanation. I could understand it. And I don't believe I could have hung in there quite as long as he has hung in there. He said, "Brother Art, needs some direction. I'm asking for your prayers." And I said, "I'm sure going to pray for you, brother." And I said, "By the way, how's such and such doing?" And said, "Not very well." And I said, "Nothing going on yet?" He said, "Nothing." And he said, Brother Art, said, I'll tell you what I did. Said, you know, he got married here a while back, and you know, he's had to work a couple jobs, and the second job was in a bar. Said, oh no. Said, yeah. And said, you know, I called him up, I don't talk to him often, said, I called him up a while back, and I act like I was one of his cronies. Said he was about half hung over, and said, I found out a lot of things. And after I found out a lot of things, I said, by the way, you know who this is? Oh. It looks like that fella who is backslidden is just determined to backslide. Been about 3 years or so ago, and somebody saw him in a local bar, and somebody said, hey, preach, what are you doing? I quit. It looks like there's something there that isn't getting turned around, no way near like it should. And I want you to be serious about eternity, about God, about the return of Jesus Christ. And I want you, when Jesus Christ comes back, I want you to be faithful, steadfast, even a little thing. I want you to be faithful and steadfast. And He's a rewarder. You want to get you, and you may not get what somebody else gets, nor may I. But brother or sister, I don't want to throw a reward away. I don't want to lose what I've got built up. I want to get a reward when He comes. I want to see the sweet side of the second coming. I don't want to let myself get backslidden and determine I'm going to stay backslidden and remain backslidden and find out that I should have nipped that thing in the bud, because when the Lord comes back, it's not going to be a pleasant picture. I'm looking at severe punishment. You say, well, that's somebody who lost their salvation in the tribulation. I know that. I know it's tribulation doctrine. I'm saying to you, my friend, there's a serious side to the second coming. I'm saying that if you don't get things turned around, I want to say to you, my friend, that there's no doubt about this, that severe punishment awaits you. When it could be a sweet reward coming your way, it may be severe punishment. What did I say tonight? I said this. I said, you and I need to be sure He is coming back. Though the world treats it like a fairy tale or snobs it and doesn't even treat it as a fact or worth mentioning, you and I know that it is absolutely certain the Lord Jesus is going to return. And you and I, it doesn't take a prophet to know that soon the Lord's going to return. And my friend, you need to get on to it. If you've been wasting time, let's get with it. Your Christian life, you need to get all aspects of it right to the top. Every part of your Christian life, I mean right back to the top, you need to go. You need to build your life around this Bible truth, the return of the Lord. You know, when He comes back, there are going to be surprises. And you don't want one of those surprises to be you leaving a loved one behind. Not at all. You need to stay alert. You need to not live in view of 70 and 10, but in view of the Lord's soon return. You need to stay alert and make sure that you stay on top and you are steadfast. And that appears to be a major thing with the Lord. And I said this, you need to live your life very seriously with eternity in mind. And if you do, you won't be sorry, but that'll be the sweetest day. That'll be a sweet eternity for you when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. How about it? You're sure about it? I know you are. You know it's soon, but do you believe that it may be down to days or months? Very likely. Are you living your life with the Lord, with the aspect of the Lord's return this year? Do it. Do it. Christian friend, make sure that you don't get taken by surprise and leave somebody behind that you love. Salvation's not universal, it's not automatic, and you know it. You better get on the stick. You better start talking. You better start witnessing. You better start weeping. You better start begging. You better start pleading. Are you waiting for a surprise you don't want? Again, you need to stay alert. This business of just giving up and up and down like a roller coaster. With God, it's faithfulness. Why did he put Paul in the ministry? He counted him faithful. Here's a guy I can count on with Paul faithful. I mean, he took beaten, and Paul rode the ship out and finally gave his life for the cause of Jesus Christ. Lord, take somebody and count faithful. He'll shove him right on in. He will open the door. Now look, stay alert and be serious about eternity and how you come out right the other side of the second coming. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, I want to ask you now to squeeze in our hearts, and God, that the Christians here would think much about your return and their lives would begin to be geared certain directions with that in mind. And God, we like the world, we almost live as though it's never going to take place. God, help us to get things to the top, keep them to the top. God, that we'd not be surprised the wrong way when you come back. The world may be, but God, that we should not be. Lord, these Christians be very serious about the other side, about eternity, about eternal things. So serious that they'd not remain backslidden. So serious that no matter what you've got for them, they're going to be faithful doing it. Even that which is little or least. God, that you would speak to our hearts, and may the lives of these people, may they be lived with your return as the preeminent thought, the preeminent thing on their mind, and may the life be lived in accordance to that. And may we not just honor you with our lips while our heart's far from you, that God, may you have a heart, a soul, or mind all about us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.